You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Being held by the U.S. The U.S. is reportedly considering letting Iran run hundreds of centrifuges at an underground bunker in exchange for limits on centrifuge work at other sites. Secretary of State John Kerry is in Switzerland negotiating with Iran. The U.S. is also considering lifting economic sanctions. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, here's your delivery from Staples.com.
Thanks, Staples guy. Ugh, do you have stuff to clean this disaster of a break room?
Sure, Staples has wipes, paper towels, sprays, sponges, all at a low price.
How about these floors?
Disinfectant cleaners, mops, bucket with side press ringers, and yellow wet floor signs.
Anyone know how long it takes to reheat cod?
We also have air fresheners.
I'll take a case of those.
Make on budget happen, make cleaning up happen. Staples, make more happen. Now at Staples, get Scott 12-pack paper towels for just $7.99.
Offer valid on Q300469 in-store and online and $3.28 while supplies last. See store staples.com for details.
President Obama is out with a new plan to fight the growing problem of antibiotic-resistant bacteria. AP White House correspondent Mark Smith reports.
Bacterial infections that resist antibiotic treatment are a growing problem. The Centers for Disease Control estimates they cause 2 million illnesses and 23,000 deaths a year in this country alone. The president's five-year plan for fighting these superbugs calls for new regional networks to identify and contain outbreaks, new steps to curb overuse of antibiotics in medicine and agriculture, and new research on next-generation drugs and techniques, and money. Announcing Obama's plan, officials note his budget backs up these efforts by doubling their budget lines. Mark Smith at the White House.
Judges on Italy's top criminal court are deliberating whether to overturn the murder conviction of Amanda Knox and her ex-boyfriend in the 2007 slaying of Knox's roommate. If the convictions are confirmed, that could bring an extradition request from Italy for Knox, who is currently free in the U.S. She has maintained her innocence. Lawyers for her ex-boyfriend today urged the court to toss out the conviction. They say there were colossal errors in the guilty verdicts. At the time of the killing, Knox had been studying in Italy. Sierra Leone's 6 million people are being confined to their homes for 3 days in a final push to stamp out Ebola. Thousands of teams will fan out across the country knocking on doors to remind people how Ebola is spread and how to prevent it. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Okay, we're going to be right back with the sports guys, but I just want to let you know, first of all, what the weather's like this weekend. And Bill Wolfson is here with me. And Bill, I guess if you want to get out and get down to look at your boat or go out and do something this weekend, the day to do it would be Sunday.
That's absolutely right, Pat, and that's exactly what I'm planning to do on Sunday. Although on Saturday, the Raritan Yacht Club in Perth Amboy is having an open house. Anybody that feels like it can show up from 10 to 6 and see what an old-time yacht club is like.
Yep, but there's a slight chance of snow on Saturday. It's only about 20%, and if the high is around 41, it'll be more rain rather than snow. Tonight, mostly cloudy, low of about 28 degrees. But the weather during the day is going to get progressively better, about high of 41 tomorrow. By Sunday, up a few more degrees, By Monday, the high could be 54 degrees, but there is a slight chance of rain or snow. And mostly sunny by Tuesday and high of 53. And I'm hearing that whatever the snow, if we do get some snow this week, they actually predict that it could be the last snow.
Well, that would be good to hear, but I hope they're not giving us a snow job, Pat. Because you never know with the weather these days. It just seems to me that we could do with some global warming because it's been a long, cold, lonely winter, as they say in that song, Here Comes the Sun.
Well, actually, Bill, I've read and heard that, in fact, our winter is because of global warming. Now, don't ask me to explain why, but because of the way some of the wind and some of the other things, we've had a much colder winter. For example, our winter has been, in some ways, has been colder than the Midwest, although I spoke with somebody in Wisconsin the other day, and they'd had 15 inches of snow. So that was a storm that was coming this way, but I don't think it's going to be as cold, and we're certainly not going to have anything close to 15 inches of snow dumped on us if we get any snow at all on Saturday. In fact, they said it was supposed to rain today, and a little bit, but you know, most of the day I took my umbrella actually and only had to use it, I think, once. So it wasn't as bad out there today, although it was very foggy, and it was really foggy this morning. It was very foggy yesterday, and again, I think it depends where you are in the township. I am up around Round Valley Reservoir, and there are times where, you know, you just cannot see anything on the reservoir. And you can't even see that there is a reservoir, and you're driving right next to it. But in any event, what's happening in sports? I'm just chomping at the bit to talk about Wisconsin-North Carolina game, etc. But maybe we'll wait a couple more minutes and wait and see if John and Ken join us.
Well, neither of them are major basketball fans, Pat, but I think we could talk a little bit about spring training. The Yankees are starting to pull their act together. A-Rod himself looks like he's going to be slotted in for the DH. He's having actually a good spring training. He's batting well. He's hit a couple of home runs. He's fielded okay. The Yankees are probably not going to be playing him much at third. The Yankees have also figured out who their number five reliever will be, and that's going to be Adam Warren, who has all but locked up a spot in the rotation because he seems to be running away from all the competitors. He gave up one run in 3 2/3 innings last night as the Yankees lost to the Tampa Bay Rays 6-5 at Charlotte Sports Park. However, he threw 74 pitches, but Joe Girardi said he had impressed him the same way all spring. He liked the way he threw the ball. He allowed four hits, including a home run to Evan Longoria and a walk, but he did strike out five.
Well, let me ask you, how soon do we have regular games starting? It's not that far, right?
No, I think opening day is April 1 or April 2, so the teams are ready to head north very soon.
Well, that'll be, you know, like a week from now.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, I think it's going to be a good season for the Yankees. A couple things have to fall their way. I'm sure John will be here to tell us about the Red Sox and Ken about the Mets. But the Mets look like they're going to be putting Dave Wright in number two spot, batting spot, instead of number three. Dave Wright, for many of us, has been Mr. Met for a number of years now. I also wanted to talk a little bit about the NITs. Temple University, my alma mater, is going to the semifinals. And I don't know about your school, Wisconsin, Pat, but I know you're champing at the bit, as you said, to talk about them. But let's hear a little bit about the men's East Regionals. So far, Kentucky remains undefeated.
Oh, and they have you watched them play? I mean, they are unbelievable.
They certainly are. We have tonight North Carolina State, 22-13 versus Louisville, 26-6. And then Michigan State, a team I like, 25-11 versus Oklahoma at one of the regionals.
Well, you know, that Michigan State, I watched the Big Ten championship. And, you know, Wisconsin played Michigan State in that championship. And that was an unbelievably exciting game. I don't know if I mentioned it before, but they got down to the last, three or four seconds. Michigan State had the ball. The score was 69-69, if I recall correctly. And everybody thought Michigan State was going to be able to put it away. Somehow, Wisconsin was able to go into overtime because of the tie. They stopped Michigan State, so the game was tied. And then it was unbelievable. In overtime, Wisconsin just absolutely walked away. I mean, I don't think, as I recall, Michigan State did not have another score. Wisconsin, I think the score was something like 75-69. But you wouldn't have believed it up until the end of that game. I mean, Michigan State is a tough competitor. Either team could have won that game. I think Wisconsin played a much better game in that championship game than they've played so far in the games that they've played since. Although Wisconsin has won, I've not been that impressed with the way they've played the last couple games.
Well, you know, the interesting matchup tonight is going to be Michigan State at Oklahoma. That'll be on the Turner Network at 9:55, a little late for some people, but should be a good basketball game. Saturday, we've got more men's basketball coming up, and, we can certainly talk about that in a bit. Sunday, again, more men's basketball, but what I'm hoping is that we're going to see a real cat fight, because I don't know who can beat Kentucky yet. I think Kentucky could run the table. I know Notre Dame's looking good.
Yeah, Notre Dame really did look good. I saw part of that game yesterday, and Notre Dame looked good. Wisconsin last year, they lost... They were very close to winning the game against Kentucky. I think that was in the Final Four. And then Kentucky went on to the championship. And I have to be honest, I don't think I saw that whole game. But Wisconsin really did a fine job, didn't win the game. But they came close in that game. I've not been really happy with the way they've been playing the last couple of playoff games. Now, they're playing Arizona. They're facing Arizona, I'm not sure when, in a few days. And Arizona's a tough team. I mean, I think they're, North Carolina yesterday was really tough. I mean, they have, I don't know if you've watched any of those games, but North Carolina, Marcus Page is really phenomenal. And, he made a few three-point shots that, I mean, you just couldn't believe it. And yesterday, at least, Wisconsin was missing a lot. I mean, it was amazing how poorly they were doing as many baskets as they were actually missing. But, and with 23 seconds in that game, and we can talk about it later, but, the Wisconsin was at 23 seconds because of two free throws that they went up to 75-70. But the game, throughout the game, went back and forth. North Carolina was ahead, then Wisconsin was ahead, and it was really the last, it was a nail biter, put it that way. And, one of the things that was fun to watch, I don't know, did you watch the game?
No, I didn't, Pat. I am not a huge college basketball fan, I have to say. Temple's in the big dance that I'll watch. They're in the NITs. I'm hoping to catch them at least one more time. I saw Temple lose to SMU, even though they were leading at the half. And Temple, which went 25-10, I think should have been in the NCAA men's tournament, but unfortunately other schools got in, and I think they're more West Coast centric than they are in favor of a lot of these East Coast schools.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah, because here's why. Who wants to watch Temple University on TV besides us alumni and those of us who like Big Five basketball? not a whole lot of people. Temple's still building a good program. Fran Dunphy's a great coach. They've got some exciting guys to watch, but they're not a Wisconsin. They're not a Kentucky. They're not a Notre Dame. They're not schools, not a school that people would follow unless they had some affiliation with the university.
Yeah, but don't you think that's, other than Notre Dame, don't you think that's pretty much the case anywhere? I mean, who would follow Arizona, for example?
A lot of people who have no affiliation with the university, but who live in
really?
The region, come
well,
to become Arizona fans.
Well, that's true. I guess if they, but, you know, what if you were in Pennsylvania? You know, I guess,
you'd have
well,
to
maybe
be a
you're right.
You'd have to be a real rabid college basketball fan to follow the Temples or the LaSalles or the Lafayettes or the, well, Villanova is.
Well, Villanova, I think, has a
nationally ranked basketball power
right.
for many, many years. But Temple has played them very tough just about every time. And Villanova has the ability to draw outside of its region. A lot of people want to attend Villanova and their basketball program because it's regarded as a very high-quality program for many, many years.
But take a look at Wisconsin. Other than Kaminsky's from Illinois, but most of these kids, as I recall, Decker, who was phenomenal last night. I mean, he was just unbelievable. I mean, he kept that. He probably single-handedly, without him, there's no way they would have won. But he's from, you know, Sheboygan, as far as I recall.
Wisconsin.
Of course. Where else would you call Sheboygan if it wasn't Wisconsin?
It could be Shamokin, Pennsylvania.
But most of these kids are really pretty local in, you know, in Wisconsin. And, you know, the other thing, of course, is you know, they're mostly these big, tall, white farm kids, or, you know, maybe they're not farm kids, but, you know, they're just these big Wisconsin kids that somehow, you know, got tagged to play basketball instead of football.
Well, you know, that's an interesting
comment, played both.
Pat. I don't know whether or not anybody really likes to leave Wisconsin who grew up there. I don't think they can stand the heat. if you can't stand the heat, go back to Wisconsin, somebody once said. Maybe that was Harry Truman.
Well, at least when I grew up, honestly, I'm laughing now because I see, you know, everybody go on these college trips to choose their college. At least when I grew up in Wisconsin, you know, there were a few kids that might go to Notre Dame, but ordinarily, you know, you wanted to go to Madison. That was where you wanted to go to school. I mean, there might have been a few people who, for one reason or another, maybe the arts or, you know, design would have wanted to go to New York or just wanted to be in that big city and get out of small rural Wisconsin. But honestly, most of us, the only place we ever wanted to go to college was the University of Wisconsin in Madison.
Well, times have changed. I know a lot of people are auditioning schools. One of the paralegals in my office is taking her son, and with her husband, they are driving down to the Carolinas and Virginia, and I think even the eastern part of Tennessee or Kentucky next week, and they're going to be looking at school after school after school. I don't know what this young man intends for his future, but they're checking out a lot of schools next week and this weekend. So I would think that, you know, the school tour has become kind of a normal process for a lot of parents and their late high school kids. And this young man is a junior in high school right now. He's supposed to be a very good baseball pitcher, although I don't think he's playing on the high school team. I think he's playing in a league, but he's checking out a lot of schools. I know that when it was my time to, in my junior year, to begin applying, I applied to about 10 schools.
Oh, my goodness. Did you really?
Oh, yeah. And I ended up at the one that gave me a scholarship and a job, because, and that was Temple University. And so I've always been a little grateful to the Owls for that. The problem with Temple University, though, is that it is really not for everybody. I was used to an urban environment because I came from New York City, and I always liked Philly sports as well as New York sports. Temple had a couple of very good science programs and also a very good English and writing program, and those were the things I was interested in. And I had every expectation that I would spend a very happy 4 years there, which certainly I did. But I got addicted to Big Five basketball because on Saturday nights, very often you'd see two or three games in the Palestra, and they'd start around 6 o'clock, and they'd get done about 11:30.
Isn't that interesting? Because I can't remember ever going to a basketball game when I was at Wisconsin. Of course, they did not have a good basketball program. I mean, this is fairly recent for the Big Ten to have that kind of a basketball.
Well, Temple was one of the Big Five, and Temple managed to have a great coach for over 25 years in Harry Litvak. Temple also had a couple of feeder leagues around the city of Philadelphia, as did the other Philadelphia schools. One of them was the South Philly Hebrew Athletic Association, which started in the 20s and was there for both Jewish and non-Jewish basketball players to have a place to play in a league. And I had a friend whose dad played in that league as a power guard, even though he was a shooting guard, rather, even though he never got much taller than 5'6". But enough of that. I'd like to talk a little bit about hockey. We're seeing a team that's beginning to catch lightning in the bottle, and that's the New York Rangers. The Rangers managed to cool off a very hot Ottawa team last night, 5-1, in front of Cam Talbot, who is really playing very well. We're supposed to see Henrik Lundqvist return from his throat injury sometime this weekend. He says he's ready. And the Rangers have two excellent goaltenders. They managed to be running the table all the way through their Metropolitan Division, and I think the Rangers could easily find themselves back in the Stanley Cup Finals this year. I don't know who's going to come out of the West. It could be Chicago. It could be the Kings. It could be any of a number of teams. But go ahead, Pat. Time to hit the money button.
Yep, I think we're going to talk about some of our sponsors for a couple minutes, and then we'll be back with the sports guys.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Well, I guess he's telling us that he doesn't necessarily agree with our views, Bill, but that's okay.
Nobody else does, so why should he be any different?
Let's talk a little bit so about the Elite Eight. We now know that Wisconsin's going to play Arizona. And who's Notre Dame playing? Do you know?
Well, let's check that out. One moment, and I will be right there. Notre Dame played very well last night.
Oh, they played Wichita. They played a terrific against Wichita.
Wichita State. And Wichita State is considered to be the best basketball school in Kansas. You know, it could be very interesting because you could have Notre Dame playing Kentucky for the at the big dance this year.
No, but who do they have to get through first? I mean, Wisconsin needs to get through Arizona.
I don't have my chart in front of me, so it's hard for me to remember that. But let's see if we.
And I know Arizona, Wisconsin was going to play the winner of either Xavier or Arizona, and Arizona won that game. And I'm just, I don't remember who Notre Dame is playing. I don't think they're playing Kentucky this round. But I could be wrong. But they did look good. They really did. But it, you know, as I said, last year Wisconsin lost to Kentucky in the Final Four, and that was a loss of 61-60. I mean, can you imagine that close? That's how close it was.
Oh yeah,
last year.
You're seeing some razor thin margins in the past, but. You know, when you look at the brackets, let's find this.
But, you know, Notre Dame won 81. I think Wichita State was like 70. So that was a pretty good lead that they had. And I would switch back every once in a while when there was a commercial on the Wisconsin game, and we'd watch them for a couple minutes. Very fast game. I mean, Wisconsin is much more deliberate, but Notre Dame and Wichita State really very fast.
The real shocker to me was the hurt Kentucky put on West Virginia.
What was the final score? Yeah, I mean, if you saw that, I did see the first 4 minutes of that game. I guess, in fact, that was the one I was watching more than Notre Dame. And I think West Virginia had something like 4 penalties in the first few minutes. And, you know, they just couldn't seem to make a basket. I mean, I think it was like the score maybe was something like 2 to almost 20 in the beginning, you know, first half. I mean, it was just Kentucky just dominated. Even though there looked to be some very good players on West Virginia's team, they seemed to be almost defeated from the beginning. And that was too bad.
It's interesting. Tonight, not tonight, tomorrow night, the tip-off is at 8:50. Notre Dame is playing Kentucky. Notre Dame is 32-5, and Kentucky, as you know, is now 37-0. They'll be in the Quicken Loan Arena in Cleveland, Ohio. And again, it's going to be on TBS. And that's a game I think a lot of people are going to be sitting around and watching Saturday night because that's probably going to be the best game. In the East, tonight you've got Oklahoma-Michigan State, as I mentioned before. You also have coming up Duke and Utah. And Duke is always the number one or number two seed. And Utah this year is a number five seed. They beat Georgetown by 11 points 2 nights ago. So that's going to be pretty exciting. The Final Four is in Indianapolis on August 4. And
not August 4.
The championship is August 6. April. August.
I think you mean April.
April 6.
And where is it?
In Indianapolis. And we're going to see some interesting basketball between now and then. But who's coming out of the East? We've got North Carolina State and Louisville. And we've got Oklahoma and Michigan State, and the winner of that is going to play the winner of Kentucky-Notre Dame. And then when we drop down to the West, we have Wisconsin-Arizona tomorrow night at 6 in the evening. And we also have, as I mentioned, tonight, it's all going to be the South playing in Houston.
Well, when you say South, you know, it's hard to tell which teams are what. Because isn't Oklahoma versus Michigan State, is that considered the South?
I don't know why they do that.
But isn't it considered the South?
Yeah. Well, you have UCLA playing Gonzaga. And to me, UCLA, last I looked, was in California. And I think Gonzaga was also on the Pacific Coast in San Francisco, isn't it?
No.
Where is Gonzaga University, Pat?
I don't think it's in San Francisco.
I don't know. But Gonzaga was 34-2. They've been a traditional powerhouse. They're a number 2 seed. And UCLA Bruins are a number 11 seed at 22-13. And again, 22-13, not a very different record from that of my Temple Owls. So I don't understand why UCLA is in there, other than the big eye of television. And,
oh, of course. Money. Of course. And where are they going to be playing? Where's you?
Houston.
Houston.
And let's see, where are they playing in Houston? That's an excellent question. And here he is, an unexplained John Manfreda.
Yeah, signing. We're
good
just talking,
John.
Believe it or not, we were talking basketball.
But now that we've talked basketball, let's talk football.
Well, let's see
good
what John wants
gentlemen.
To talk.
But good afternoon,
given something,
sports man. Guys.
It says
it's nice to be
sports guys, and what the heck could this be? I guess this is for John and I to open.
Okay, so Bill was doing the honors here.
I brought our team a little gift.
It's our theme. It's 5 o'clock somewhere because Pat was in Key West in Margaritaville.
How about that?
Oh, we're going to have to put this somewhere.
That sounds pretty cool. I think it'll be inspiration if we hang it
right here.
In the studio. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. And speaking of that, I was thinking of you,
yes.
Bill, because I was in Margaritaville in Las Vegas last week. And I know that's one of Bill's favorite venues because it's always 5 o'clock. And, of course, keeping the sports guys in mind, a couple of things.
Huh?
Well, I have a gift for each of you, and this will illustrate, I guess, the relative or at least the perceived relative strength of some of these teams. So for you, Pat, I have a betting slip on the Packers to win the 2016 Super Bowl. Would you care to guess what the odds makers have laid them out as?
I'm going to say 7-1.
Pat?
I wouldn't be surprised if it was more like 6-1.
Believe it or not, 4-1, Packers. And here is Pat's betting slip.
Okay.
Now, drum roll, please. Cow Chip Kelly's crew.
Oh, wow, and I can win $20.
This will show you the relative strength, okay, as we get to the cow chips.
I'm going to say.
Bill, 15, what's your take on the Eagles?
15-1.
This is to win the Super Bowl, Bill, not the Little League. But
15
anyway.
15-1.
Pat, what do you think?
20-1.
You are right on the nose, Pat. How about that, ladies and gentlemen? 20-1, Bill. If the Eagles win the Super Bowl, why you have enough to take Barbara to a very nice restaurant on the day after the Super Bowl.
Then. I bet.
Well, thank you.
With
very
a 20-1.
What at 20-1? What would you win?
I would win $100.
Well, I'm only going to win 20.
Well, that's because you root for a very good team, Pat. But I do have the odds. Now, this is a family show. We certainly don't promote the idea of gambling.
I'm always
but
shocked to hear that goes on.
Isn't it, Bill? Isn't it amazing? But anyway, while we're at it, let's take a little gander here. Who do you think the top seed is to win the Super Bowl next year, next February?
I'm going to take a wild stab at this once again, the New England Patriots or the Seahawks.
Exactly correct, Bill. Seahawks are now 5-1. Patriots are 6-1. But the Packers, Pat's Packers, are 4-1. They are in Vegas, the top pick to win the Super Bowl.
Wow.
To show you how almost prohibitive they are, what do you think their odds are to win the NFC, Pat? This is going to blow your mind.
I just think that there's no competition at all.
Almost right. Do you believe it? 3-1. Mm-hmm. Right. That's amazing. That's amazing. What's interesting is the Seahawks are 5-2. So let's think about this.
Hmm.
Right? You have the Seahawks at 5-2, the Packers at 3-1, which means you actually have better odds on the Seahawks, yet the Packers are 4-1 to win the Super Bowl, and the Seahawks are 5-1, which, using your inductive reasoning skills that all lawyers possess, means for some reason, they believe that the Packers have a better chance of beating New England than Seattle.
Wow.
Well,
and
I'm not surprised about that because I think Aaron Rodgers is a star on the way up.
And I think he's there, Bill.
And I think New England is on the way down. I just can't wait to see Bill Belichick grumbling as he
when he's got a lousy team and he's 5-11 and the Buffalo Bills and the Rex Ryans of the world are staring down at him, kicking him when he's down, no doubt.
Well, John, let me ask you, did you watch any of the basketball last night? Did you watch Wisconsin by any chance?
I did not. Okay. I was not able, but I heard that they had a miraculous
tournament so far. They did not play a good game. But what I wanted to tell you, since neither one of you watched it, guess who was in the stands?
Now, where was the game played?
In Los Angeles. And guess who was in the stands?
Who was in the
cheering
house?
On the Packers?
I think that was a Freudian slip. Wisconsin.
Cheering.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers, was he in the stands?
Aaron Rodgers was there.
We never would have got that, Pat. Yeah. That was a Freudian slip.
Aaron Rodgers was there with his girlfriend. But even better than that, afterwards, when they interviewed, I think it was Decker, who said that Aaron Rodgers either had been tweeting him or, you know, they had been emailing back and forth. What was neat is to see that Aaron Rodgers, who, of course, as we know, is from the San Francisco area, Northern California, was, you know, being that supportive of the, you know, Badgers basketball. And, you know, it just kind of shows you how anybody who gets into Wisconsin sports, you know, look, I mean, he's a Packer that he would actually.
He's a loyal guy, huh?
And going and actually not just showing up at the game, but really being very supportive of these basketball kids. And
now, did you say Aaron Rodgers was there with his girlfriend?
Yeah, his girlfriend.
Oh, I was going to go over the rest of those odds in a second, Bill, but I'll let you
know.
But Pat, as a matrimonial family law attorney, what do you have to say about your favorite quarterback and his unmarried status and earning all the money that he does? And endorsements, and not to mention playing football. Isn't that dangerous?
Well, in what way? I mean, you know, he's not a Paul Hornung where he's Paul was out there with every woman going. But the reason I said girlfriend is I never remember her name. She's an actress that played on what was that program, Network? Munn, I think her last name is Munn.
I think, Pat, you should send a tweet to Aaron. Tell him that you will, just out of tremendous respect for him, be happy to send him a very good prenuptial agreement and trade that for a pair of tickets to any game Aaron wants you to go, and provided he autographs the tickets for you after the game and puts the final score. I think you should send him a package.
But remember, John, he's not now married. And so that means anything that he earns now is – you know, not subject to equitable distribution if he marries and gets divorced.
Ah,
so he's
true.
No dummy.
So he's the perfect candidate for
bachelorhood.
A domestic asset protection trust, because he forms the trust before he gets married. He puts his shekels in there and they'll never get shaken out. So that's the plug for matrimonial. Up with DAPT, Domestic Asset Protection Trust, down with prenuptial agreements. But we digress.
Yeah, we really do digress.
That's so. Okay. But I just couldn't resist. When I heard you mention girlfriend and Aaron Rodgers in the same sentence, okay, you know, thankfully for Aaron, he's 3,000 miles away. But by the same token, I know you're always looking out for his best interests, right, Bill?
Well, but it was just fun. And of course, they had to scan. I mean, they probably showed him on television.
Well, it's L.A. So
along with a lot of other people.
What was that? What's that big mouth actor's name? Jack something? Jack Penny? Nickel Dime
Nicholson.
Penny? Now, Pennyson is what I call him.
No.
Not one of my favorite
actors.
But
actually, they scanned the stands to show Aaron Rodgers more than anyone else. But then he was also with his very attractive girlfriend.
I hope they didn't do a Brent Musburger on him.
What's that? I don't
remember. In the national championship game, it was so boring to watch Alabama rout the fighting foolish of Notre Dame that they were commenting on A.J. McCarron's girlfriend. And this, remember, they kept putting the camera on her, and he kept commenting. It was totally tasteless, and I was shocked when they didn't fire him from the network just 2 years ago.
I guess I didn't
watch
it.
That was one of the
it.
Best football games they ever saw. What was that, 56-0 over the foolish, something like that? It was an incredible rout. But
when you see a thumping like Notre Dame got in that football game, I guess they felt bad for all the Notre Dame fans and wanted them to look at something really
that was something palatable. Speaking of which, we will be thinking about that thumping tomorrow night when the Irish go up against Kentucky.
Oh, that's got to be.
They're going to get fried like chicken.
Well, I mean, West Virginia, I saw a little bit of that game, and I mean, I think they had four fouls in the first couple minutes, and
well,
I mean, it was just
ND was lucky to get past Northeastern in the first round. When I was in Vegas, they barely got past Northeastern. It was tied with seconds to go.
Well, I have to tell you though, the way Wisconsin has been playing in the playoffs, I've been very disappointed. I mean, they pulled it out last night, but you know, North Carolina, you know, looked good.
Who was the guy whose motto this week was 36-1? 36-1. Who was that guy? Boy, we haven't heard him. He's crawled under some rock.
Well, that's why he didn't show up here. I think he sells tasty cake and electricity.
Oh, could be. I actually wasn't thinking of Kent. I was thinking about the player for the Wichita team that played Kentucky. And he kept saying the last few days, because Kentucky's 36.
Right.
No, 36-1. Like they're going to pull off the upset. And they got buried by 30 points.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Kentucky looks like they could play in
the
NBA.
The debate that I've literally heard, serious debate, is if Kentucky was in the NBA, how many games they would win. And the consensus seems to be that they would win 5 or 10 games in the NBA.
That's, well, when you hear about the fact that they expect 8 players to be drafted into the NBA.
Well, you spend 8 months at Kentucky. That's it. You go there in August. You graduate in, you know,
that's a euphemism. That's a euphemism.
No, those guys don't. They stay 1 year.
Well, you're right, but also they graduate. I don't know how they do it because. And
correspondence,
you know,
courses.
But the nice thing about Wisconsin, look at those kids. I was talking to
That's a legitimate
Bill,
program.
But it not only is it legitimate, most of those kids are from Wisconsin. Kaminsky's from Northern Illinois. Decker, who was a real standout last night, is from Sheboygan. These kids grew up, most of them, in Wisconsin. But did any of you see what happened with Nigel Hayes?
No.
When they were interviewing him? This actually was cute. They were interviewing, it was Kaminsky, Nigel Hayes, and I don't remember the third player. And apparently he didn't realize the mic was on. Now, how many, you know, we always have these things.
These things happen.
But what he did is he kind of turned to Kaminsky and whispered, not knowing the mic was on, there were a couple secretaries down there that are that were on the other side of the camera, and he whispered, "Boy, are they beautiful." You know, really innocent.
Well, at least it was something
nice.
Oh,
no, really, really nice and innocent. But then when he realized the mic was on, he put his hands over his face for about 5 minutes. I mean, he was so embarrassed.
Well,
and of course,
at least
then
he said something
very nice.
There's nothing to be embarrassed about there.
They have their 15 minutes of fame now because, of course, then the cameras
kept flashing on him.
Well, on to the women.
Yeah.
You know, to show, you know. And
to
show the
proof.
It was so cute, though.
That sounds, once again. Like a family moment.
Yeah, yeah. It was really funny.
By the way, before we get off of the Vegas thing, would you care to just switch to baseball for a minute?
Of course.
And check those odds out. The favorite to win the World Series? Do I have any suggestions? Bill, you glanced at this sheet a few minutes ago, but you might have been looking at football.
I was, but I'm going to take a wild guess that it's going to be either the Dodgers or the Tigers.
Very close. Pat?
Oh, I have no clue.
Okay.
I mean, you know, Chicago Cubs.
Well, the Dodgers are 6-1, and the Washington Nets are 5-1. But they have a ton of talent, but they've never won a playoff game, I don't think.
Right. I don't know where
this could be the year.
From. They think maybe this is going to be their year for lightning in the bottle. I don't know.
And the New York Yankees.
Oh, well, the Yankees
with
are going
to A-Rod in the lineup.
The Yankees are going to have a decent year, but not a great year. It's a rebuilding year. I think that they'll be lucky to get into the wild card, which is what I'm hoping. I'd put him anywhere from 20-25-1.
Bill, you're exactly right.
Really?
Pat, we're awed to be in your presence. But 25-1 is correct. Mm-hmm. And how about the New York Harveys?
Meaning the New York Snurts? The Mets?
The Mutts.
Oh, the Mets have got to be about 40-1.
Actually, and this goes to show you the lunacy of this thing, 15-1.
I was going to say 30-1.
Okay. Well, they should be 50-1. But what they do with the Mets every year is the odds they post are so ludicrous. They're usually in single digits because they get all these people from New York who are in Vegas and say, I want to put a bet on the Mets. And they artificially inflate those numbers. The Mets are always way overrated on the board because that's free money for Vegas. A couple other teams here. The Pittsburgh Pirates.
Well, wait, explain that. So you mean to say that if nobody goes to Vegas from, some little venue, Milwaukee, for example, that, you know, that will affect?
Well, betting odds are posted by the sports book. But then those odds go up or down like a horse race depending upon
the demand
and the bet. And so you have all of these, you know, shall we say, you know, uninitiated fans going out there putting money on the Mets to win. So the odds come way down. And it's just a horrible bet.
So this is not the professionals.
No.
Are you talking about
the
same thing with
the sports book initially sets the odds.
Yeah, but what about football? Is that the
same thing?
One of the things that so many people like the Packers, so they're going to
Bet the Packers.
They're going to bet the Packers.
Well, it's not a popularity contest. It's not whether they like them or not, but they happen to think they're a very good football team. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? I would always bet the Packers. I don't care, even if I thought they were having a terrible year.
If they were 100-1, you bet them because you don't want to bet against your team. And
that's the same
reason why they get so many bets on teams like the New York Mets or the Philadelphia
Exactly.
Phillies.
Oh, okay. Exactly right. How about those Dallas Cowboys? What do you think they are? Speaking of America's former team.
Former.
Believe it or not, same principle, and that's why I brought it up here. 10-1. Now, they just lost DeMarco Murray.
Yes.
All right? And they're 10-1. Give me a break.
Not only did they lose them, but they lost them to one of their bitter rivals.
To one of their a division rival. This may be like DeSean Jackson going to the Redskins, though. And last but not least in football, the New York football Giants are coming off the board at 25-1, which is a pretty fair bet.
Yeah, I think what's it, what are the Eagles?
The Eagles are 22-1.
22-1. Okay.
Yes. I mean, I think that I put money on the Giants. I think at 25-1, that's not a bad bet. You know, I think it's probably about where they should be. Switching back to baseball, the Red Sox, who finished last in the American League last year, Bill, would you care to take a gander at what the Red Sox projected
odds are to
win
the
World Series?
I bet it's 6-1.
I'm going to say 30-1.
8-1.
See, it was a lot closer, and I know nothing about
rankings. The Red Sox are ranked 8th in all the base. They rank all 31 teams.
Well, they had a good offseason picking up guys.
They picked up. Well, you got to remember, last year there were injuries all over the place. So this is a team you're looking to come back. The same thing with the Yankees. I mean, the pitchers, they get injured. So far, it looks good. You know, I still think, you know, Tanaka. I just don't get spending this kind of money on these Japanese players who are excellent athletes, but they're not big people, and they tend to break down a lot easier. And that's what happened, you know, to the Red Sox with Daisuke. And I really thought, I mean, they paid $100 million for Daisuke, so that's the end of that. He had 2 good years, though. They did win a World Series, World Championship in 2007 when Daisuke was 14-1. So, I mean, you know, they did get something out of him. But these guys just don't have. And I think what they're going to find with Tanaka is what he didn't have surgery on that shoulder, so you never know. But to me, he's a guy I would pitch every 6 days. I would tread very lightly. They have a big investment in him. And I, you know, same thing with Pineda, who was actually pitching tonight in the exhibition game. So with the Yankees, it's all about, they're kind of old in the position players. But to me, Bill, it's really about that shaky pitching stuff. Shaky in the sense that there's a potential for 3 or 4 guys to go down by June.
But remember something, they're now going to a 5-man rotation. They're adding Adam Warren as the guy
on
the back end.
Yep, that's a smart
that.
Move.
And I think what you're going to see is you're going to see Masahiro pitching every 6 day. You're going to see Pineda pitching every 6 day. You're going
and
to
that
see
could
Ivan
extend
Nova.
Them. I agree.
And remember, he was unhittable until that tear in his arm in early August.
Now, by the way, you're right about that. This is interesting. It's very interesting to study these odds. They give you the opening line, which would have been posted in October after World Series. The San Diego Padres were 55-1
wow.
to win the World Series. You know what the odds are now?
Well, much better.
I can't imagine.
12-1.
Yeah, I was going to say much better.
Because they've added so many good players. Yeah,
you know,
free agency,
you know,
will do that to you.
What I still don't understand, and Dave was telling me he just watched something on Babe Ruth. He said it was really fascinating. But how did these guys like Babe Ruth go out there and play, you know, day after day after day?
They pitched doubleheaders.
Drink all night. When I was growing up, when I was a little kid, I mean, you got the Warrens. They went out and they pitched the whole game. The only time, I mean, they might be taken out if they were really starting to screw up, but, you know, you didn't
have
to. To
me, Pat, the answer is media coverage. It was practically non-existent in those days. These days, you've got reporters walking around. They tweet stuff all over the world in seconds. I mean, these guys are in a fish tank.
Yeah, but how is it that they can no longer pitch an entire game? What has changed?
Well, I think the athletes are so much better that you know, you had good athletes in the old days. Today, every one of these guys is a world-class athlete. And these pitchers make a mistake and leave the ball hanging over the plate a fraction of an inch more than they should.
Yeah, but
and
are
the
they
ball
better
is
going to
be hit 400 feet.
Yeah, but are they better than a Hank Aaron, for example? And
No. I think in any given era, you'll have, let's say, the top 5% of your players that'll still be standouts. So if you look at, let's say, the 1950s, and take some teams there and take the top 5% of the players, it's probably roughly equivalent to the top 5% of the players now. But what I'm trying to say is all boats have risen. In other words, the average player from the 1950s who looked like people in this room, okay, is our far cry from the world-class athletes you have.
So you think that the guys today are much better?
Oh, I think so.
Oh, they train year round.
Well, they may, but I mean, you know. But then you had somebody like Babe Ruth who could, you know, drink and carouse all night, get up and, you know, go out and play ball.
I don't know. Maybe that's what gave him the energy and.
All right, it's a family program. Let's.
Well, you know something. It's a family show, but remember, it just goes to show you. Why I think I'm right. Guys like Babe Ruth or guys like Mickey Mantle, their training table was not all these proteins or these steroids or performance-enhancing drugs. Their idea of a performance-enhancing drug was
eating a hot dog.
Bourbon and about 12 hot dogs.
Yeah.
And you know something? You look at someone like Lou Gehrig, who was a relatively clean living guy. He played, what, 1,250 games uninterrupted until he came down with ALS. These were amazing men. They were like iron, you know, like wooden ships and iron men, that kind of thing in the old sailed navies. But
see, aren't you making my point? I mean, today, you're right, they do all this training. They have the conditioning, they have the training, but they're breaking down a lot faster. I don't know if it's that the equipment...
I think people break down a lot faster. I think because they overtrain and they play. I know a lot of kids, 16, 17, they are playing baseball 9 and 10 months a year.
That's a big piece of it.
And when they're not playing baseball, they're lifting weights, they're in the gym, they're running on a track. And
I think the other thing for pitchers, Bill, though, is the breaking pitch. Pitchers, they throw a lot of breaking pitches, and that torque on your shoulder, mm-hmm. it's such an unnatural motion, and the pressure put on that shoulder structure, I think it just, there's only so many bullets in that arm, and it takes its toll. Also, if you remember years ago when we were kids, if a pitcher threw in the 90s, that was a big deal. Now, your soft relief pitchers come in and throw in the 90. Now, I mean, these guys are flirting with 97, 98, 99 routinely.
Right.
So I still think a lot of it is training, nutrition, and maybe some extra nutrition too that you don't know. You can't know. And we've just gone through an era where it's very obvious that they were performance-enhancing drugs, you know, replete throughout the industry. They've sort of cleaned that up a little bit. Maybe the residue is just an elevated quality of player because the clean players had to work that much harder. You know, if you weren't going to take PEDs and you want to make the team,
right.
Boy, you got to work real hard.
Well, not only that, you also had to have good coaching and have them guide you based on the talent that you had and how hard you wanted to work, because there are a lot of guys with a good work ethic. And then only a modicum of talent. And now you've got more teams and more slots to fill. So you're seeing an awful lot of opportunities. The thing that's amazing to me is how focused a lot of these kids are at 14 and 15 on becoming really good ball players.
Well, on anything. You're talking baseball. One of the controversies now are, you know, that one of my sports is bull riding. I know, everybody laughs. But, you know, there's a whole circuit out there of kids who are doing bull riding, and there's a lot of controversy about that, you know, talking about, concussions. I mean, these kids are getting hurt. But, you know, this is, again, there's a lot of problems in some of the sports, and people are going to get hurt, and they're probably... As far as the kids, they're probably riding, they're starting to